connect, solve painful problems, raise amazing adults, and have healthy families. Welcome to the Sean Donahue Show. Jordan and I do this podcast because we want your family to be close and connected. And we want you to feel empowered and equipped in your most important job, the most important job in the world. Let's go deeper than this podcast. Head to my website, parentingmodernteens.com, and get my email straight to your inbox. And when you're ready to go deep and get serious coaching from me, join me in my VIP membership. Parents are teachers, and every home is a school. So teach well, love well. All right, let's have some fun together.
What's up, my fellow parents? You know, being married to children is like, it's kind of like a dream come true. For me, it actually is a dream come true. I was dreaming about this since I was a teenager, just being a dad and being a husband and having a happy family. And it's just wonderful. It just brings out the best in me and just invited me into whole new forms of love and humanity. And I'm just being honest with you. It's so freaking hard. I'm like a professional parent. I have a popular parenting podcast, the Sean Donahue Show. And it's like, listen, the top 10 parenting podcasts of the world. And I'm like, it's hard for me. And so it's just so hard. And so, like, no one ever told me it was going to be this hard. I just thought it was going to be so great being a parent, take my kids to Disneyland, take them to the lake, just maybe share my hobbies with them and hugs and kisses. So not only is it hard, but then what they don't tell you is you have this other adult in your life, your spouse, your co-parent, your baby mama, whatever you want to call it. And they're telling you what to do. They're telling you, don't do this, don't do that. I don't like it when you do this. Let's parent them this way. Let's do it this way, not that way. It's like, what the crap is that? And so parenting is so, so tough. And people don't really talk about how hard it is, huh, Jordan?
No, we always glamorize the beautiful parts of it, like the cuddle sessions and the hugs and the I love you, mommy, I love you, daddy. It's like, oh, it's so sweet.
It's
amazing how much our kids could tug at our heartstrings, make our heart melt, and yet make us just want to scream at the same time. It can be very challenging, and for some, more challenging than others, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And even in the 10 years, I went to a wedding in Seattle, Washington. My cousin's daughter got married and they played some songs. And my one daughter, you know, they had make a circle in the dance floor at a wedding, you know, and my daughter pulls me out there to go dance with
that's
her.
That's so sweet.
And then another time later on, my two daughters pull me out and then we pull our third daughter out. So for me, I'm sitting here dancing with three daughters in the middle of a wedding. And it's like literally we probably danced for about 5 seconds total. Cause you know, sure, you're like in the middle, down, then probably. You get out. Time slowed down for me. It felt like this is what it's about. Like this is one of the greatest moments of my life.
But I hope when we move on to the other side or whenever we're done with this life, there's like a highlight reel of
me
our lives.
Me too.
You know, that would be in it.
I think about that. I honestly, I've been saying this a lot. I'll be like praying to God. I'll be like, God, can you just like, when I get up there, can you just make a little tab, make a little reminder? I want to replay this moment.
Right. There's going to be different tabs. It's going to be like the highlight reel, the low light reel. You just want to ignore that one. And sometimes those reels will be from the same dang day.
Oh, 5 minutes later, right?
Yeah.
Same conversation. Oh, that's how crazy. It's so up and down. So today, here's what we're going to refer to it. So when a lot of people hear the term co-parenting, what they envision is two people who are divorced, split, or live in two different homes, and they have to then figure out how to co-parent together. And that is true. But what I have found in that in the last 5 years, the term co-parenting has just become an everyday term. That even if you are married or you live and you have the same, you know, you share a child together, you live in the same house, you're still co-parenting together. So Jordan, what do you think about the term co-parenting? If we didn't call it co-parenting, you know, what would we call it?
I mean, My honest opinion, I think it's silly. I think it's not. I think it's so dumb to label
the term.
Thing. The term is so dumb to me. I'm just being honest.
I think like, my wife would agree. Tell me more.
You're a parent. What do you mean you're a co? It's like you don't say, hi, I'm a co-parent. You are a parent. And so my question to these people who call themselves co-parents, are the grandparents also co-parents? Do you call them co-parents too? Why not? because you're parenting, the other person's parenting, but maybe the grandparents are parenting also, so they should be co-parents. No, that's not what it is. To me, okay. I think it's just silly. It's like you're the parents. You got a mom and a dad.
But then what else would we call it? Because it's about like teamwork and parenting. You just want to call it that. Isn't co-parenting just a little easier to say?
No, why do we have to put it in together as a team? Of course it's a team effort. Why do we have to categorize it as a co-parent?
All right, just shut up for a second because this episode is going to be called "How."
I know exactly. I see people use this term when they're divorced or separated.
Yes,
it's like, oh well, we've decided we're not going to stay together, but we're going to co-parent this child. It's like, well, no, you are. Like, this is your kid. This is your kid. You're going to parent the kid.
Yes. All right. So for this episode, what we're going to refer to two terms. We'll call it, how about this? You probably like this term, how to be a great partner.
You okay. The great partner. No, co-parent works. It works for, because I'm not in your world. You hear this a lot more than me.
Yeah, it's true.
So to me, I'm like, this is so weird. Yeah. Why are we changing the term? They're the parents. Why are they co-parent? They're the parents. But you are getting so many different backgrounds and dynamics broken
families.
And
I got to kind of be like, I have to, in a good way too, I get to learn about all these different cultures.
Right.
And different ways of people thinking. And so like, I learn it's just, and then I play around with these words. So yeah. So first let's do a little history on co-parenting.
Okay.
Without using any history books, because I wasn't around in the 1950s. All I know is that they made cool cars and
good music,
50s, early 60s. Mm-hmm. If you look at some pictures, there wasn't as many clothing styles. Like it exploded more like in the 60s, late 60s. People, like especially men, they wore these basic shirts, right?
Yeah.
Collared shirts. They tucked them in. Like if you look pictures of your grandparents, even your parents when they were in high school.
A lot of collared shirts, yeah.
But let's imagine, I wasn't parenting back then, but I would have to imagine that in a lot of homes, let's just say American homes, because I'm just like making this up. I have no research in front of me. I would imagine that there wasn't a lot of partnership going on in a lot of homes.
I see where you're going with this.
I
right.
think I'm just guessing either A, the mother did all the parenting.
Right.
And the dad just totally stayed out of it. Or did the passive punishing.
Right.
Or avoided or did the punishment. Or B, you had these harsh authoritarian men that were like very controlling, and they pretty much controlled the children and even like try to control his wife.
Right.
I'm just totally making this up based on movies I've watched, man.
Sure, like, sure. But I see that style. We can all picture that 100%.
You can picture that too?
We can picture that. It's a more conservative, you know, family dynamic where the male is the worker, the female stays home, cooks, cleans, takes care of the kids. So this dynamic that you're painting,
the roles,
we can all understand where you're going with this.
Like I think my late grandfather was an amazing grandfather, but I think he was based on what I'm hearing from my mom and my aunt, I think he was a pretty limited/bad father. He abused them physically, verbally, mentally. He said mean things to them. And I think he really just tried to think of good fatherhood as I'm just here to provide for you financially and maybe protect you. But in the end, I think he did a lot of trauma. And I don't know. And I'm clearly jaded. And you don't know what you don't know. And I don't know much about parenting in the 50s and 60s. But that's how I think of how a lot of people grow up.
Yeah. And you know,
your parents grew up like that at all? Like with a motherly mom?
Well, I know that
maybe.
I know that my grandfather was the worker and my grandmother was the stay at home. Right. And she helped. Yeah. I mean, they had five kids. And then on the other side, I think it was a similar dynamic. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I could argue that that's potentially possible. But, you know, what we've learned just from you is it's such a much more healthy dynamic when these parents. These co-parents, as we're calling them, work together.
Jordan made a salty face.
But you're right, though. Like in those times, it seems like there really was only one parent there for the child, you know, 80 to 90% of the time.
It seems that way. And it would be the mother. But of course, that's not the case at all. Some of us grew up and their mothers were very harsh or stoic, and they didn't get that feminine touch or that comfort from their own mother. And then they didn't get it from their dad, or some did it. And so now here, let's put in a time machine and go to 2024. Let me tell you, when I think of parenting in 2024, this is the most common struggle. This is one of the most common struggles I see now. You ready for this? This is kind of funny, and it's kind of sad. I'll let you decide if it's funny or sad. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So you've got this. And this is not every house. This is definitely a lot of American homes.
Yeah, just
sure.
General rule. Okay.
This is super common in Canada and America. So you got this mom who is watching positive parenting videos on TikTok and Instagram. And they're watching my videos. And she's like, wow, like positive parenting, gentle parenting. This is great. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to traumatize my kid. And she's sending these videos to her co-parent, her spouse. And let's just call this person a man in this situation. Okay.
Okay.
And then she's saying, this is what we want to parent our kid. And the man in the beginning is like, okay, this is a little different than I was raised, but I'm open-minded. Let me do that. And then they actually try to do it. It's like really freaking hard. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is, the man then tries to get aggressive. This is not every home. This is just in a lot of homes. Tries to get aggressive. Tries to get authoritarian. Tries to say, we got to parent these kids. You're too soft on them. Mm-hmm. These kids need discipline. Mm-hmm. They need structure. Mm-hmm. And then the woman becomes like the good cop. I'm like, no, that's not what we do. It's not, you don't. And then in some homes, then what happens is the women in this totally made up fictional tale then says, stop parenting in this way. Stop. So then the man says, oh, I don't know what to do then. I don't know how to parent. Oh, right. Raise this gentle parenting. This right. Kids need discipline.
Right.
Like,
and they're like, it's not working. What you're doing is not working.
It's not working. Your kids are out of control. Our kids are whiny.
Right.
And then she says, well, what you're doing is not working. Our kids are afraid of you. And they're coming to me and telling me how much they don't like you. And then the deterioration of the relationship just starts going down. They argue about parenting and just everybody feels unheard and powerless. What do you think about that family dark drama?
I mean, I think you're painting the picture for a lot of people. I mean,
I could say
in my circle, I've encountered that exact story multiple times. And
you look at the kids
and you're like, huh, it's really not working. Or are what the parents doing, are they doing it wrong? And now the kids are walking all over them. And then the male figure feels helpless because the mother, you know, in this story is saying, no. And the father is like, well, I need to do this because this is not working. Look at our kids are walking all over you. They're walking all over me.
Yes.
So it's almost like if I was looking at this, you know, from like a, let's say just like a business perspective or like cross analysis, scientific method. Okay. We're going to try this method. Nope, not working. Now we need to go the other way. Let's give it 2 years and let's just full on punish them, put them in timeouts and just put them in the chokey, right? And let's see if that works. And then you got 4 years to determine which one worked better.
Right. So, hey, whatever. I hope that if you don't relate to this, just know that a lot of people do relate to that scenario. And whatever your scenario in, Jordan and I are going to give you 7 action steps on how you can be a great partner. You can be a great co-parent. And if you've got a challenging partner, if you've got a challenging co-parent, then think of this as like, this is a leadership lesson. I'm here and you are a leader and you're going to lead your family in health and wisdom. And you're just a great parent. You're just here getting empowered and encouraged by two people who really, really care about you. So Jordan, can I give them this list?
Please, let's start off.
We're going to spend more time on some than others because some we've addressed on parts of this podcast and other episodes, and some just I think are more requiring. The first thing I think of when you think about marriage and parenting, co-parenting, is guys, here's what you have to start with. You have to prioritize the marriage. You have to prioritize your co-parent. Their honor, their relationship, your quality time, your love language. You cannot put the children first. You've got to start with the co-parent first. Do you agree?
I do. I think it can be hard when you have a fundamental disbelief on certain staples of your life mm-hmm. to prioritize that marriage because
very wise.
You know, you're trying to prioritize the marriage, but you can't understand the other side. You can't agree with this. So you have to, you got to figure that out.
So well said, man. Because yeah, that's part of the problem with this dynamic is we'll just, it doesn't matter if it's a male or a female. If you live with like an aggressive authoritarian type co-parent or partner, then what you're going to instinctively do is you're going to try to step in to be the peacemaker, to protect the children, you know, from this thing that you're afraid of, which is their aggression. Is that right?
Correct.
Then what that can be a good thing, but it can also be a very toxic thing or dangerous thing because it's like, if it feels like you're just like putting the children first and you're then demoralizing or shutting out the authority of the other parent. And it's right. just so complex, isn't it?
And it's hard to just, you know, let's say you're the protector in the situation. It's hard to distinguish what's more important in some of those situations when you're in the moment. What's mm-hmm. more important to back my spouse in this situation or to protect the child in this situation or, you know, baby the child or whatever you want to label it as. But it can be hard in the moment.
If we're going to build 7 great tips here on how to be a great parent or partner, number one is just about prioritizing the love and the romance. This means, you know, do not forget those date nights, which yeah. means turn the Netflix off and turn towards each other. Put the phone down. Check in with each other's day. You might have to invest in a babysitter or some type of getting some family help so you have some time for each other. Because if you don't have time for each other, if you don't have that love for each other, then all the chaos of parenthood is going to start causing problems and it's going to start ripping away at the seams mm-hmm. of that once connected relationship that you have. This is golden advice from two people who care about you.
I always find it so weird when people have been together for so long and then they get divorced 20 years, 30 mm-hmm. years after they get married. I'm like, why did that happen? And I'd anticipate because they didn't prioritize the marriage. They didn't go on dates. You get caught up in the rat race and then 18 years goes by and the kids leave and you're like,
right.
Who are you?
Yeah. Now we're on point one. Now I'm going to tell you what point three is. I'm going to skip two. Point three is going to say something about teamwork, obviously, right? Obviously, we're going to have teamwork in a freaking podcast about parented.
Yeah.
But before I go to point three, I just want to make a point of points, what point one and two is. Because point one is prioritizing the marriage. Point two is prioritizing your own mental health. And if you think about this, if you just take a deep breath, it all makes sense. If you're really not taking care of your mental health, if you're abusing alcohol, if you're struggling with your own temper, your rage, if you are struggling with avoidance or screens, if you are really struggling with dark, intrusive thoughts, it's going to be hard for you to be a good partner. It's going to be hard for you to be a good teammate.
A good parent.
A good parent.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it kind of make sense if we're going to have an episode about partnership and teamwork? It starts with the individual inner work we each have to do.
Got to take care of number one, yourself. And I know that might sound selfish, but if you don't, you could lose yourself and ultimately lose the family.
You don't want to be one of those parents that just loses themselves in their spouse or in their kids. And if you're listening to this, you know who I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm talking about you, the person listening to this right now, the person that hasn't been to yoga, who hasn't played golf, who hasn't gone on a hike, who is just exhausted.
Pickleball, bro. That's huge right now.
I played pickleball.
So fun.
It's fun. I played that with my nephew. It was fun. Fun.
Whatever hobby it is, do it.
Because you know what? Yeah. I mean, if we're going to be great at loving people, if we're going to be great servant leaders, what do we need to do to get our minds and to get our bodies ready to serve with true love? Like when you go on a big trip, whether it be a work trip or when you do something really hard, do you ever like, you know, do anything in your mind to just prepare for that big trip? Like any exercises or things in your mind, Jordan, before you do something like that?
I would say I do more of that if I know I'm leaving during rush hour and I have to sit in bumper to bumper traffic because I will get really mad.
Yeah. What do you do?
Like, I just, I change my expectations on like arrival time. It's like, oh, it's going to take me 6 hours to get there. I'm going to get there in 6 hours. It's like, oh no, the reality is going to take me 6 hours to get out of Atlanta. So, good. So, yeah. So I just change, you know, the general plan in my head of when we leave, when we're going to make a pit stop and when we're going to get there. I'm just like, you know what? No, we're going to go with the flow. And it helps.
Two things I do. My VIP members get to meet with me 3 times a week. And one of those times is on Tuesday evenings. And so Tuesdays is my hardest day because this is the day we record the podcast on. And then I have, you know, one-on-one clients, I have interviews, I have then I have this thing at nighttime, right? Where I have to show up for my A game to be there with my VIP members. So I'll block out time in my day and I'll take a nap. So I usually nap on Tuesdays. It's just about,
that's awesome.
You know, taking time. To like, you've got to be there. So you got to take care for yourself so you can be there for others.
Right.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Like at work, I'll be sitting in the studio for hours and I'll get so tired and start to get angry. And I'll just be like, time to go outside. Something as little as like going outside. Like this morning I was walking in and this bird was chirping. And I just noticed like, I'm freezing my booty off out here. And that bird's just out here chirping away. Just like, hey, good morning, everybody. I'm like, it's the little things, man. I like that.
The little things.
Yeah.
Hey, in a minute, I'm going to ask you a sensitive question. I'm going to ask you, do you like funerals?
Oh, that is a sensitive question.
I'm just going to be honest with you right now.
Okay.
And this might sound bad. I just need to be honest with you. I don't really like going to funerals.
Yeah, you're not alone, bro. It's not like a happy place. I don't know if that
sounds bad or not, but I do believe in the afterlife and I do believe in heaven. And so I do believe there's a lot of joy in funerals, whether it be an older person who had a slow life or just,
called a celebration of life, is that better for you?
Like somebody I know or somebody I cared about is gone. And it's just, sometimes I'm in a funeral and this might sound bad. This might sound really bad. I went to a funeral recently from somebody, a mentor of mine who died. And honestly, I was sitting there halfway through it. I was like, I just want to go home.
You are not invited to my funeral, bro.
I'm just so sad.
If I get to a crossroad and I see a bright light when I pass and God's like, do you want to come? I'll be like, hold on. I have unfinished business. I'm going to go haunt Sean for a moment and then I'll cross over.
I know it sounds bad, man. And just don't judge me. I just was like, can this be over? It's just so sad.
Do you feel the same way during weddings?
I went to a wedding in Seattle a couple of days ago. I love weddings.
Oh, you like weddings. Okay. I just didn't know if you just didn't like get togethers, you know,
No, I'm like that.
It's the sadness, the pain, that you don't like, the pain. Yeah, the memories.
I think I'm just really thinking about this last one because it was just so sad because this man I love, he's gone forever. So what do you think?
You're trying to mute the pain, bro. And you're trying to move on without really allowing it to grasp and take its you know, moment in you.
Maybe it's just so intense in me.
I can't think about this because it's too emotional. So I'm just going to build a wall and move past it.
I just want to move on, but I can't. What about you? I don't want to talk about this anymore. Do you like funerals?
I've only been to a couple. One of my buddies in high school passed and I went to his. That was hard.
You're talking
about
Utah?
First one. Yep.
I knew you.
Talking about Utah. Yeah. That was my first one. And that was hard because I'd never encountered anybody passing before.
His life or how did Utah die again?
Oh, no. It was a drinking and driving accident. Partying, kids wrapped a car around a tree. And he was such a good kid, man. He hung out with us at Campus Life. He lived with me for a short period, you know, while him and his mom were going through tough times. And he just got involved with not the right kids after he stopped playing football and just didn't have a direction. Anyway, we don't have to talk about him, but what I'm saying is I haven't been to too many. I went to my grandfather's and I had the best time in the world. I was like, I came back and everyone's like, how's the funeral? I was like, dude, it was so fun. And they were like looking at me like I was crazy. And that's because it was like a huge family reunion to some family I had not seen in a long time.
Yes, I have been one of those. It was great.
And I enjoyed that. And it was sad, but he was at the age where, you know, people start passing and you could look at all the cool things he did. And it was just kind of like, wow, this is cool. It's a storyline of beginning, middle, and end and what came with it. And the kids that came with it, you look around, you're like, I'm a descendant of this. This is crazy.
Oh, it's so good. All right. If you want to be a great partner, a great leader, a great co-parent, you've You've got to have a funeral. You've got to have a funeral. And if you really want to have a great, amazing marriage and like partnership experience, then two funerals need to happen. When something needs to die, you need to put it to death. And what that is your own selfishness, your own ego, your own immaturity, your own, it has to be my way. Because, you know, when you have a child with somebody or adopt a child with something, you're not only bringing this child into, you know, the world, into your home, but you're also giving up power. You're giving up power that is not going to be all your way. You're a team. You're a partner. And funerals are hard and giving up power is hard, but for you to thrive in this, you've got to have a funeral and give and let that my control over this situation is now dead.
And you know, when you have that funeral, I remember having that funeral. It's like a weight lifted. It's crazy. When you have so much control on you and you're thinking you want to manage everything. And then when you can't, the anger that comes inside you, right? Think about that. Like we all try to control certain things. And when we can't control them, we get mad. But the moment you realize you can't control them and you allow that relief and you know that you've got a partner that can help, tell you what, man. It's like, you turn, you're 10 pounds lighter.
You're an incredible man, an incredible podcaster. That was so good.
Well, I was just thinking how I felt.
Negative and down, and then you just like turned it all around, bro. Dude, that is so true. So let's build on what you said, and let me play as Angel's Advocate for a second. This is so true. You don't have to do this by yourself. You're not alone. You're not alone. Like Jordan says, you don't have to have it all figured out. You have a helper. That's such good news.
Yeah. And be real. Like, why do you want to have all that control anyway? I mean, I know you like things your way and you want to put all the ducks in a row, but the reality is having kids and a family is kind of fun to see it go into chaos for a little bit. And then you reorganize with the help of others.
Okay. Let's give somebody some counseling right now. I'm going to go first. Jordan, this person needs counseling. This person's like, Jordan, no, this doesn't relate to me. I don't feel like I have a partner. I don't feel joy. I feel fear. I feel like I have to protect my child from my co-parent.
Right. And I get that. I can't
let go.
Right.
I have to parent another person.
Right.
So here's what we're going to give you a little side counseling. Okay. First thing I want you to think of is that this person you're talking about, I hope you're not demonizing them. Just because they're different than you, just because their parenting style is different, just because they don't follow my videos or gentle parenting or positive parenting, just because they're not reading your parenting books, just because you don't agree with their parenting, it doesn't mean they're a bad parent. It doesn't mean they're screwing up your kid. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean the world is over. You and I have came from imperfect parents who had imperfect parenting styles, and we learned, we grew, we healed, we did our work.
Right.
So that is something we need to really highlight on this episode. As we highlight good parenting, we also need to be cautious to not demonize anyone in this.
And I don't know what point, you know, you have basically like working together and being on the same page. But the reality is like the reason you feel this way is because you're not on the same page and you're, well, let's say you're worried that your spouse is going to harm your child. Or let's just say, think about the chaos that came with COVID and people that were co-parenting, not married. One wants their kid to get the vaccine and one doesn't.
It caused such
trauma.
It did.
But the reality is you have to figure out how to get on the same page. And I don't know the answer to that quandary, but you got to get on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Give and take.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about teamwork. It's about sometimes you lead and sometimes you submit and sometimes you speak up and it's your way. And sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's like this. Sometimes here's like something that my Danielle and I do. We'll say, Danielle, for me, this is like a 9 out of 10. This is a 9 out of 10.
Number
and
rating
she might
score.
Say, well, Sean, for me, this is a 10 out of a 10.
Right.
I'm like, oh, geez. Okay. All right. Well, maybe let's keep talking about this. Let's pray about it. Maybe we can talk to some friends about it. Or, you know, or sometimes if she says to me, Sean, this is like a 9 out of 10 to me, I know that she has more 9s than I do.
Right. That's what I was going to say. What if someone's like, well, it's a 10
she
out
does.
Of 10. Well, it's a 10
everybody,
out of 10. Well,
everybody
10
has,
10.
Right? Nobody is gonna have the same feelings as you do. Right. So it's like, how do I submit to her leadership without feeling walked over, without feeling like I'm people-pleasing? How do I submit without having a resentful heart?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep score. You got to just write them all down, add them up at the end of the year. Say, you had more nines than me. This year, tell. I get more nines.
Well, hey, love keeps no records of wrong. So, right. That's funny, though. Right. This is why these two funerals need to happen. Because if you're in a relationship with somebody and there's only one funeral is happening, then you're not, you know, it's like, how can you have a team with somebody who doesn't want to team up with you?
Yeah.
But before we demonize this person, just
give and take.
Look at them and realize I made a baby with this person for a reason. There's good things in this person.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another take on this same thing. All right. I heard somebody say this recently. Okay. This person said co-parenting is a myth, because if you're with somebody and you have a baby with them, you're married, mm-hmm. and you get divorced because you can't get along with them anymore.
Okay.
So now you're trying, somebody you don't have a history of teamwork with, now you're trying to have teamwork with them while they live in a different house.
You right. know,
they sleep with somebody else.
Sure.
So if you couldn't do teamwork here
together,
it's going to be really hard. So just let it go. Just accept that there is no co-parenting. You're going to parent the child at this house one way, and I will parent the child this house.
And that happens a lot. Way. That
it
happens
sure
a
does.
Lot. It does.
And here's some good news. That can be confusing for the child, but the child can get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is sometimes the best way to parent the child. Just help the child with the confusion. I know, honey, it's really hard. We have different rules here than at your
That's
your
really wise. That's house. Good, because there are some co-parenting couples that just will not work together because of that history. So the fact that you said that maybe gives us, some of us, hope that, like, okay, well, we're not going to damage our kids too much with my style versus his style, or her style versus my style.
Let's sit on this. We're going to sit on point three and four the longest. So let's sit on point three a little longer, okay? Two funerals need to happen, and teamwork and everything. I asked my wife, Danielle, hey, honey, I'm doing a podcast about, you know, partnership and co-parenting. You know, what comes to mind for you? The first thing that came to mind was she didn't like the word co-parent.
Me neither, like, man. That's what I'm saying. That's
she
okay,
was like,
keep
what
going.
Is that even?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
The second thing she came to mind is she's like, well, teamwork. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, what do you mean by teamwork? And this is kind of funny. I think it's funny because I just know my wife so well. She said, well, cleaning.
God.
Okay, I'm glad you know was
that
funny
is hilarious.
Why are you laughing?
Because I know the house is always spotless. You guys,
so, like, our house.
How
is
do you
so
cook?
Clean.
How do you cook? You have to, like, clean as you're cooking.
yeah, man, clean up
kitchen.
Immediately.
Oh my gosh, that
no,
is
my
so
wife
funny.
Is very. Yeah,
you got some tomato sauce in the backsplash. Can you wipe that up right now?
Well, it's a group effort. It's
I know it is.
Being,
I know
loving and I meeting her standards of cleanliness. It's about her not,
yeah.
you know, communicating well in a non-naggy way. It's
that's just so funny. That was what the category she brought up.
That's the first thing she said is cleaning.
That is hilarious.
Well, yeah, but it's a challenge because, like, I don't have the same standards and I don't have the
oh,
same
yeah.
eye.
Shoot,
you know,
I know.
If you want to see our house, you can just go on, you know, her Instagram, danielle.donahue, and you can see our house.
Do you have rules? Yeah. Like, okay, Sean's the trash guy. I'll do the laundry.
Tons
Sean is the...
Tons.
Okay, so you have your categories within
Tons.
Cleaning that you know is your route, your road. All right.
Yeah, but like something that's come up recently is, like, a few times, like right now, I normally put our 7-year-old to bed.
Yeah.
Almost every night, which is hard, and I prefer to not do it, but I do it with a grateful heart.
Yep.
Because she really did it for the other two kids. So then what really pushes her buttons is if I put the child down and then I just kind of go and do my own thing, like start reading a book.
Sure.
Or watching a show.
Yeah.
And then she feels unseen and unloved because the house still needs cleaning.
Can I? Okay. I don't want to get into this therapy session.
But I don't want to clean.
But what was she doing the whole time you were putting the kid to bed?
She's cleaning or working or doing other good things.
Okay. Got it. All right.
Right.
Yep,
she's doing good things.
Yep.
But I don't want to clean. Now I'm exhausted from putting the kid down. So then what I've found is that there's been times when I don't check in with her and don't do any cleaning. And for me, it's the Gottmans have a thing. It's, you've heard of the love languages.
Yes.
They have a better thing. It's called a love map. And I know that one of my things on my wife's love maps is cleaning.
Hmm.
And she even told me last night, she said to me, Sean, I really don't want you to ask me, you know, what you can clean. Just start cleaning.
Yeah.
And then, and I realized, okay, you're right. I didn't need to, like, I could
get approval.
I could have done it.
Yep.
And it's hard for me though. So I'm trying to not be psychic or be a mind reader, but this is like an example. So, of how, like an example of teamwork in our parenting. How about you? When you think of teamwork, what is first thing comes to you? And then if you ask your wife, Danny, what would she say? What do you think she would say?
I think it's just sharing, you know, the parenting, equally. Here's a big one. How about this one? Let me throw this out there.
Okay.
Poopy diapers.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about that? All right. Is it in your household, not you, Sean, but in general, people listening, is it the wife only cleans the poopy diapers? The man doesn't at all, doesn't touch them?
In 1950,
them?
We already know the answer to that.
Do you share the poopy diaper, you know, the quest? Because some of it can be quite an adventure. So it's just things like that. It's like seeing what the other person has done and knowing where you need to step up to the plate. Mm. Right? Seeing how maybe the other person didn't do anything all day. But maybe they're not feeling well. I'm going to step up to the plate.
Right.
So you see where you need to fit. And then maybe, you know, you did as much as you wanted to do. And you're like, you know what? I'm just going to rest. I'll do the rest tomorrow. Then the other person would see that. You know what I mean? It's just seeing the other parent.
Here's something we've never talked about together on this podcast or even in real life. Let me say something and let me get your take on it. It's like a little riddle. It's like a little bomb. One of the good things of 2024 is that the gender roles are becoming much more loving and more balanced when it comes to parenting. For example, poopy diapers.
Yeah.
One of the bad things of 2024, one of the stresses of 2024 is that we're like very confused by the gender roles now. You see where I'm going with this? Should I explain?
Yeah, explain.
So like,
you mean like we are like, who is confused? Society is confused.
Like, I know as a young dad, I was freaking confused. Like, okay. Like, aren't you the stay at home mom? Aren't you doing the diapers? Like that's definitely something a young, dumb Sean would say.
Right. But like, you're also half the parent.
I just got home from work and like, I got to do all this stuff. And like, can you do the diapers? Like, that's definitely something stupid I've said before when I was
but that's a mindset of the 1950s. You're like, oh, I worked all day. I come home. I shouldn't have to do anything.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's cool that we have like, essentially every family gets to now redefine whatever gender roles they want.
Oh, I see.
So dad wants to stay home, be a stay at home dad. Cool.
Yep.
No judgments here.
Right.
I got some friends who are stay at home dads. High respect. But it's kind of like, it seems like it'd kind of be easier if you're in like 1950s. It's like everybody knows this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And everybody knows this is what you're supposed to do. I don't need to talk about it all the time. Just do it.
I don't know if there'd be as many smiles. Maybe there was. I don't know. We need to get back in that time machine. I want to go see how many people are smiling back then.
Does your wife, my wife says this to me sometimes, and I kind of like it and I kind of don't. She says something like, you know, well, you just expect me to do that?
No, I've never heard those words.
She doesn't say that?
No.
She says that to me sometimes, and I'm like, oh, that's a good point, because I think I do like – I am kind of like expecting her to do that. But she works full-time now too.
Right.
And so like all those, you know, expectations can
be tough. I don't know if I ever – I mean, there are certain expectations if there is a one person working, right? It's just like you're both really working. Let's be honest. Like the person at home is freaking working. It's
hardest
not like you're just watching soap operas all day. But
all my children.
Oh my gosh. But you know, there are some. I guess I can. Yeah. These are the days of our lives. I think for us, there's always just been, you know, communication as to like, I do this, you do this, I do this, you do this. Oh, you want to do this? Cool. Now I'll do this. And we just hop around. You're a chameleon.
You're good with that?
I mean, it was probably hard in the beginning. Maybe I blacked it out. Maybe I just built a wall and moved on. I don't know. But right now, everything's working great. And
yeah, now you've got three kids. That's one of the joys of getting older.
Yeah.
You know, you teamwork. You don't have to argue about this stuff. You figured it out. So if you're young and you got young kids, just have hope. Have hope. If there's love, if there's an open heart, if there's a willingness with you and your co-parent, just know you're going to get through it. It just takes a little time.
I mean, some stuff I try to do, I ask, I would like to do this. And then she'll say, no, you don't do it right. So I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I know that's not my avenue. I shouldn't go that direction.
This might sound a little bad, but I kind of like it when Danielle says that to me, because that means
then you don't have to do it.
I don't have to do it.
Of course.
And everyone's happy. You get it done the way you want and I don't have to do it.
Right.
Right. So here's a couple more thoughts about teamwork, because we're on point three right here, but this is definitely one of the most important. Here's a tool for your mind. Instead of, oh my gosh, myself is driving me nuts. Instead of, my gosh, you just don't listen to me. Instead of, oh my gosh, my spouse is so freaking selfish. Or, oh my gosh, my spouse is so rooted in these gender roles. Instead of, oh my gosh, it's me versus them. This is how I feel like I'm in a war. Think this. It's not you versus me. It's us versus the problem.
Right.
It's two very different people with different backgrounds, different family upbringings, different personalities, different pros, different cons, different skill sets, different schedules, different energy levels, different everything. How do you team up with that person who is very different than you and is always going to be very different? And if you try to get them to change, you try to get them to be just like you because you're so cool, well, then that's not going to work. Instead, just change your mind. Find this joy and this acceptance in this person, saying, I need to accept them for who they are, accepting they're growing at a different rate than me. They're on a different journey with me. They are my teammate. And it's not me versus them. It's us versus this problem called parenting.
And if you need to have that conversation, just do it together. Maybe go out on that date and talk about it. You know, there'll be times when we disagree on stuff, and then we'll bring it up later, like right before bed. Like, hey, this is you wanted me to do this, but I really feel this way, and I was exhausted. Yeah. You know, and then you kind of get to know each other's ticks and you know, how you can step up to the plate to help.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. If I were to ask Danny right now, when you think of being a team with Jordan, what's like one of the most annoying things or challenging things? What would she say? Just throw yourself under the bus. Just be honest. What would she say?
It used to be, I would say 5 years ago, it used to be me wanting to spend so much time like in the woods or fishing or going to visit family or on a trip, you know. Yeah. I had to change my expectations, but also, you know, look at like the true joys in life and what my purpose was for wanting to do that. And it wasn't just to like get away from the family. It was to spend time with some of my other family that I don't get to see anymore.
Yeah.
And when she had that realization, she was like, oh yeah, I want you to do that, you know, but don't be gone forever, you know?
Yeah. It's really good. Yeah.
So stuff like that, you know, I've realized that she's a night owl and I'm an early bird, so I don't get to sleep in pretty much ever. I'm up early with the kids, but I don't mind that because I wake up early.
Yeah.
It's just harder when you're not with that person. So this co-parenting podcast, I mean, for a lot of people, they might not be with their baby's mama or their baby's daddy or whatever.
Yeah, right. You know what? When you think of the movie genre, good cop, bad cop movie genre, has any movies come to mind for you? Because you say movie buff. Good cop, bad cop movie drama. What is the movie that comes to mind? Where you got two cops, one's mean, and one's like lovey-dovey or nice. You got any movies?
No, I can't think of any right now.
Okay, how about three movies? Good cop, bad cop. Here's three of my favorites. Okay. Training Day.
Ooh, Denzel, that's a great Washington movie. Great example.
Bad
great
cop.
Movie. Great movie.
Ethan Hawke.
Great movie.
Okay. How about that TV show with Andy Samberg? Have you ever watched that one?
No.
Oh, it's very popular. What's it called? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Okay, how about this one? Very underrated Will Ferrell movie. Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg, The Other Guys. Remember that
movie? Yeah, that with Mark. Yeah, I do remember that. I've only saw
The Rock
one.
Is in that movie. And in the opening scene, The Rock dies because they're like the dream team cop team. So then they can't get the A team, The Rock's team, because he's dead. It, with like Samuel L. Jackson, the alpha male cops. So they have to go to the backup detectives who are Will Ferrell, who is like this.
And Mark Wahlberg, who hate each other.
And they hate each other. Mark Wahlberg is like the bad cop. Will Ferrell's like the good cop. That's a really funny movie.
Your second movie or show was Brooklyn Nine-Nine that you were talking about.
Really funny comedy. You've only seen it a few times. Very highly reviewed.
But what about this good cop, bad cop thing? This is what we don't want in parenting.
We do not want to the dynamic. Where there's a good cop, there's a bad cop. And where there's the soft parent and there's the disciplinarian. If you're going down that path, put the brakes on. Stop. Because, Jordan, can you see? I mean, we could do a whole episode on the bad things that come out of the good cop, bad cop dynamic.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some good that would come out of it. And I'm just trying to think of, like, you know, don't let me tell your father. Once your father gets home, you're going to really wish you didn't blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And you instill that fear in that kid. Maybe that did work at sometimes, but what you're saying is
nothing good.
You don't want that. You want it to be more even keeled from both parties.
We could do a whole opposite podcast episode on that, but it would be a Debbie Downer episode. The bad things that come out of the good cop, bad cop dynamic. Like, who would want to listen to that?
Right.
That's a dark family drama.
Yeah. Know? Yeah.
All right, let's go to tip number four. All right. Tip number four. Now here we are. Prioritizing the marriage. You're prioritizing your mental health. Two funerals have happened. And now you're a team. So now that you're a team, what kind of teammate are you going to be? Action step number four. The best teammates and the best teams are always flexible. Flexibility.
Yeah.
Chill vibes. Go with the flow. When you think about that, what comes to mind for you?
For me, it's like I think of flexibility, obviously, as the partnership, but like people who are not together of being flexible. Let's say you had an ugly divorce and you are in charge of having the children every other weekend.
Okay.
But on the weekend,
very common.
When it's your weekend to have the kids, the other spouse, or not spouse in the situation, the ex, has an opportunity to take the kids to Disney World because they just won free tickets on the radio. Ooh. And it's for the whole family.
Ooh,
you nice. Could be bitter and like, no, sure I don't could. Want my kids going with them.
You sure could.
I don't want my kids to have that experience with the new missus in the situation or the new man over there trying to raise my kids. And I get it. But what my dad taught us in the podcast not too long ago, he just said you had to take a step away and not think anymore about yourself and what you want. And it's got to be truly what the kids want. And hopefully down the road, the kids would see that and they'll have a better relationship with you because of it. Because if you keep them from everything because you're worried, then you're not going to have a good relationship with them when they get older.
Yeah, you can go back and see that was only about maybe 10 or 12 episodes ago, everybody. We did a podcast episode. We brought Jordan's dad on. And gosh, he was filled with so much wisdom about how he navigated the waters of co-parenting after a divorce. And it just seemed like both your parents had this certain sense of flexibility of like, let's be good to each other. And so we can really put the kids first through this.
Right.
And it really showed up. Here's a little something. Okay. I want you to think for a second. You're like the perfect co-host, by the way, because I just constantly put you on the spot and you just like are so quick on your mind. You always come up with something. So everyone listen to this and everybody think for a second. Who in your life would you say be one of your favorite partners you've had in life? Everyone think. Partners. Now it could be like a friend. Like you just, you know, you guys plan camping trips together or you just go camping together. It could be a coworker. It could be a friend. We're like, just, you already know that if you go to a pool party and you're supposed to bring this and you're supposed to bring this, like you just love working with this person.
Right.
It could have been somebody from your past. I'm going to tell you about two of my favorite friends, Josh and David. Okay. So if you have a visual, they're about my age. Josh has no hair and David has black hair. Okay, Josh, both in tech. They're both very smart. amazing men. They're both family men, very hardworking. I love and I admire them both. They both have things that drive me nuts in their personalities, and they know that because I love these men. They're very close in their things. And so here's what I think about Josh. If I think of someone I would want to be a partner with, like if I was stranded on a desert island.
PIC, partner in crime. Yeah.
Partner in crime. He's definitely one of the first people I would think of.
Okay.
Not because he's like an avid outdoorsman, because he's not. He's just so relatable. He's very hospitable. He's so generous. He's very trustworthy. And you just know that if you go to Josh's house, you're going to have a good time. He's just easy for me to be around.
That's great.
You know, he's just so trustworthy. He's a great partner.
Yeah, like a best friend.
Like a best friend, yes. And then you got David, who's got black hair. I think about David, some of the things that scream off the page for me is this man has just a lot of wisdom. He's a great listener. Like if I'm hurting or going through a hard time, if I want some good advice, I'm just going to call him up.
Yeah.
He's like really easy to talk to. And he's a huge outdoorsman. So we can just go outside and do something together. And we're just going to nerd out. And we're both going to love that. Partners. How about you? When you think of a great partner.
Yeah. Who, like good friends. Like you could probably look at your phone and look in your favorites and find that person. Right. It's like these are the people that we love to be around. We love to share life with. And they're easy. It's easy. It's easy. Right. It's easy. That's going to be the biggest thing.
Easy.
So for me, a good partner would be one of my uncles that I do all my outdoor, you know, life with, hunting and some fishing and all that. Because there's a lot of stuff that drives me nuts, but I get it, you know. And once you get that person, you know how to act around them, right?
Get it.
And another person who I love to be around is like my brother. Like the same story. It's like we would do everything together before kids. I mean, we were together all the time, and now it gets more complicated because our time is more minimal. But it was so fun always doing stuff together. And then like my dad, I love being with my dad. But also, I know that my dad can drive me nuts, and I know I can drive my dad nuts. And so I know my limits, and I know what I should and shouldn't say, and I know how to act to keep it simple and easy, because the reality is like people know, like if you butt heads with someone, you know how you got to keep it around them.
So good.
And so,
good
to find these partners, you got to know who they are.
Let me tell you my favorite thing, what you said, because I think you just took this podcast, this action step to a whole nother level. I love what you said when you said, I get it.
Oh, yeah, because there are those quirks that drive you crazy. And you're like, why? Mm-hmm. Why do they do that? Why do they act like that? And you're just like, all right, I get it. I get this is who you are. This is what you're going to do. So I have to come to terms with it.
I'm not going to badmouth Josh or David right now, but there's some things about them that I don't like. They annoy me.
Oh,
and
come
I know
on.
That I have the same.
Let their dirty laundry out. What do they do?
But
do they bite their arm hair?
Josh is he's kind of like a know-it-all sometimes. I did it. You baited me, dude. He's just like, you talk about, he's so smart. And sometimes he's just always bragging about how nice thing I'm so smart. He's just like, and he'll just tell you things. They're like, okay, Josh, we get it. You know a lot. Shut the hell up. And then David, he can be kind of
like you have your own
sometimes.
Google with you. It's like you got your own encyclopedia.
Like it's like, shut up, Josh. We're not Googling you, or we don't want to know. He's like, yeah, I would have predicted that. Or here's my prediction for this.
Oh,
sometimes it's true.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up, man. All right, no truth. Dumbest. It's more like Notre Dumbness. You're so dumb. Shut up. And then David, he can be just kind of airheaded sometimes. Like, oh yeah, I forgot to do that. Or hey, I didn't think about that. And it's like, these things drive me nuts. We're on a sports or backpacking trip. And you're like, oops, I forgot this. And I'm like, what the heck, man?
Right.
You forgot this?
Yeah.
But the thing about why I love them, and I hope they love me, because I'm going to tell them I made this podcast and I'm talking crap about them, is that what you said, you get it. Like, I understand that my wife's desire for tidiness and cleanliness, that's not changing.
Right.
That's who she is, for better
but
or
maybe,
worse.
Maybe her acceptance of you of a slob needs to open up a little more.
Maybe I'm not a slob.
Maybe you should be.
Maybe I used to be. But that's the thing. I can't become her and she can't become me.
No, that's so true.
And so what you said was so brilliant. For you being a flexible co-parent, it means you've got to just get it. Just get it. you're working with imperfect people. You're imperfect. You've got your stuff. They've got, stop being so judgmental and blamey. Stop begging them to change. Just be cool and work with them and accept. And that's really a greatest form. One of the greatest forms of loving somebody is just really accepting them for who they are.
And those people who are in happily ever after marriages, or they could be categorized as that, they do that. They adapt. They get it. But it's those that are like, oh, I'm not going to, she wants me to change, or he wants me to do this. I'm not. If you're unwilling to, you know, adapt to the other person, then you're never going to be with anybody, because it's just no one's going to want to be around you.
So well said, dude. You know, you cannot change this person, but you can't change yourself. You know, you cannot change this person, but you can change your viewpoint of this person.
Right.
You can change your person. You can change if instead of you viewing them with resentment or criticism, or like you're a victim to their imperfections or their selfishness, you can look at it that way, or you can just say, look, you know, and I love them for who they are, and they're not trying to hurt me. You know, this is who they are, and they're not out to get me.
And so for the co-parent, prioritize your marriage. You got to be on the same page. We got to prioritize our mental health. We got to have these two funerals, which don't invite Sean because they'll be bored anyway.
Sad.
We gotta be the best teammates, and by doing that, we've got to be flexible. That's good.
And number five is, we're going to spend no time on this because you get it. If you really want to thrive in your family, you're going to have to slow down.
So, you know, they say,
you're going to slow down.
Stop and smell the roses.
Yeah. You gotta slow down. You gotta slow your schedule down. You gotta stop doing so much stuff.
The grass is not greener on the other side.
Stop working so much.
Screen right in front of you.
You gotta chill out. You gotta slow your life down. If you're going on a fast pace, it's not gonna end well.
You don't wanna go into that grassy field anyway. You have allergies. Mm-hmm. Stay in your lane.
Stay in that lane. Don't change lanes. Slow down. Go in the slow lane.
Yeah.
Watch all the people speeding and getting accidents on the left. Slow down. I did a video. It's going viral now. I'm very proud of it. I have a line in there. I love it. I'm so proud of this line. It says something like this. It just came up a few hours ago, and it's already got like lots of views. It says something like this. It just came out. It said like, you got to put some reggae music on in your head.
Dude.
Something like that.
I stopped. I watched that whole video. I don't always watch all the videos that you post because I know a lot of the stuff that you're going to talk about, but I watched this entire thing. And that was such a good line. I was like,
5 minute long video.
Man. And then I started playing reggae music in my head after you said that. And it was like, this makes me feel so calm. That was such a good analogy.
You know, it's a great reggae band from the 90s is 311. Do you remember?
Are
that
they?
Band?
Is that their category? Reggae? I mean, I know 311.
Reggae.
Is
it reggae? They have a song, Amber.
Yeah.
Color. Uh-huh. Remember that song?
And they just came out with some new music that sounds completely different.
Is it good though?
Oh yeah, it's pretty good. They changed their vibe. One of my old colleagues, it's her favorite band.
311. Yeah. If you're from Southern California, you're reviving with 311. Okay. So let's move to the last 2 points. This is so key. In fact, my wife, Danielle, even alluded to this. Okay. Okay. Now. Can you hear that?
Of course I can hear it. It's bringing up all these memories now. Amber is the color.
Right, I'm going to leave it in the background. If it gets distracting, tell me. Okay. Here's what I've found is that for some of you, this is going to be the most important point in this episode. Is that a little loud? 311?
No, we can barely hear it. You're good.
Okay. It's like really loud here. Okay. Okay. So we've all been there. One parent is having an issue with the child and there's tension. And then that child goes to the good cop parent.
Right.
And that good cop parent then tries to either appease the child, comfort the child, or referees the situation.
Okay.
And then the other parent, that'd be me in this scenario, would be like, what? Don't support that. Like, give me some backup here.
Right. Right.
So what I have found to be great as a great parent, as a co-parent, is you've got to create a home culture of making amends, teaching your kids to make amends. And don't just move on if there's an issue between the child and your co-parent. In fact, create a home culture of peacemaking and working things out together. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, but give me an example.
Okay. Okay, let's say that this one child is being, this is extremely common, really disrespectful to its, to their father.
Okay.
Like lashing out.
Sure.
And then the child, the dad is like, you know, please don't disrespect me like that.
Right.
And or then the child goes to the mom and gets comfort, mm-hmm. gets gentleness. And then the child gets taken by the mom to its soccer practice. And it's never, ever addressed again.
Oh. I see.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Right.
Have you been there?
I'm there all the time. There are a lot of times when life gets in the way. I mean, you share an example of your daughter's soccer practice and you refuse to take her until that situation was resolved. But I think a lot of us don't do that. I don't do that all the time. It's like, oh, we'll figure this out after practice.
If I were to say, don't undermine your co-parent, everyone would have imagined these different stories. But see how this is actually a subtle way of undermining your co-parent. Yes,
right. And there is a lot larger examples, but this one makes a lot of sense mm-hmm. because we'll gloss over things all the time.
Gloss it over. Or we minimize like, well, the only reason that the child was mean to you is because you were being mean to the child. It's like mm-hmm. we just minimize and undermine our co-parents, and we're tempted to do that on a regular basis. So how do we then not do that? And we're not going to spend too much time on this, but that just could mean you pulling your co-parent to the side, or, hey, can I talk to you in another room? Or, hey, can I talk to you about this another time? Hey, I really didn't like the way you talked to, you know, little Sophia. My wife texted me a week ago and she said, you know, I really think you need to apologize to our child. And I was upset. And when I got the text, I was upset.
Sure.
But I took a breath and I was like, yep, she's probably right. I trust her. And I went and I apologized to the child, but it wasn't done in front of the child, you know?
Right.
Because I would have,
you know, I think we had a lot more back in the day, you know, you go back to the 50s or whatever, we had a lot more respect for adults, right? So let's say there was a situation where the teacher would come to you and say, hey, your child is doing X, Y, and Z. We would have so much respect for an adult, we would believe the adult over our child. We have now come to a society where we believe our children, even while they're lying in front of our face, we'll take their word for truth over anybody or over our co-parent, over their teacher. We will look at our kids as angels and we will say, they're right. Yeah. And whoever else is coming up with an accusation is wrong. And that's not necessarily the healthiest thing to do.
That wouldn't be.
And with co-parenting, you're right. We need to that back would be each like other a kid-centric
up. Kid-centric home.
Correct. Right? Yes.
And so how do we not move on? How do we work in this confusing world of like, you know, like leading a home where everyone makes amends and we work things out and we just don't pretend like everything's fine and we take our kid to lacrosse practices, which is a perfect transition into point number 7. It's a little wordy, but I hope you love this. Point number 7, emotion coach your kids in their confusing role in the family. Let me explain. If you look at it from this perspective, being a kid is a little confusing. What, like, you love me, I'm the kid, so you're supposed to take care of me. You're supposed to take me to soccer. You're supposed to feed me. You're supposed to be there for me. You're supposed to love me. You're supposed to be my person. But yeah, that's true, kid. But here's a little confusing is that while I do love you and you are my kid, you're not my number one. What? But I'm your kid. I'm 6. Right. I'm 16. No, my number one is actually my spouse. What are you talking about?
You wouldn't even be here with it. Yeah.
I'm your kid.
Right.
Well, it's very confusing. So using terminology, especially if you have a blended home or two parents, even if you have two biological parents living in the house, it's all so confusing. Even if you're a step parent or if you're a parent of an adopted kid, you're a foster kid, it's all so confusing, isn't it? And it just takes time for you to properly emotion coach your kid. Like, well, why can't we just go to soccer? Well, because you still have to address what happened between you and your dad. Well, I don't want to. Just take me to soccer. Well, no, in this family, You know, how we care for each other is more important than soccer. Well, I don't want to talk to dad. I just want to go to soccer. Well, no, see, this is all very confusing because soccer is important. But, you know, how we deal with this is even more important. Yeah. It's just all so confusing, isn't it? If you just break it down.
And so we have to help the kids come to this realization, right? Emotion coach them into this, in this confusing world to help simplify it. That's what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying. Even in like the most confusing situation for a child, let's say 50-50 homes, divorced parents, one parent parents totally different than the other. That's pretty confusing, right?
Yeah. Maybe one parent passed away. Shoot. Who knows?
One passed away.
Maybe both.
Who's going to help a child thrive in this confusion and understand it? Well, that's what good parents do.
But it's not their friends. They're the kids their age coaching them through life. Right? It's like, hey man, pull my finger.
Pull my finger. Let's putting you on the spot. What is one thing that's confusing about being one of your kids right now? Like, and you're helping them in this confusion?
Everything you just talked about in that podcast in that post, it's going viral. Feelings.
Deep feeling kids.
Deep feeling kids.
What do you mean? Can you be more specific?
Not taking everything so seriously, not looking at the bad and everything. Understand, trying to help my child understand that like kids are going to be kids and they're going to be mean and they're going to say things. They don't even know what they're saying. They're going to call you stupid. That doesn't really mean you're stupid. They're going to call you bossy. That doesn't really mean you're bossy.
Oh, that's good.
Right?
So like, you're helping your kids process that confusion.
Yeah. And the other day I didn't do a great job. I was heated and mad and so like, why don't you see this? Why aren't you blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's like you went a little hot there. That's why I was there and hot. I kind of calmed down. And I'm like, I don't know that you were there. Cause I was just like, why, what are you doing? Allowing other people to take your freedom away just because of something they said. Right.
So good. Man, that's good.
These kids are 9, about to turn 10. It's hard enough for us adults to realize this, right?
That's
someone comments a negative comment on your feed, you get all heated, you want to respond, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's like, why are we giving these people power to begin with?
Right.
And it's because we all want to be loved. We want to be supported. Yeah. We want to be complimented. So when someone calls us ugly or fat or you did a terrible job, we feel bad.
Yeah. I think what's confusing about our home right now is, and I'm not trying to be funny by saying this, even though you might laugh, is it's just very confusing for everyone here to live with a 7-year-old right now.
But you've all done it already. So why is that so confusing?
It's just tough. She's a tough 7-year-old and it's just confusing because she's 7 and she's strong will and she's moody and emotional and loud and annoying and amazing and lovely. And it's just, we're all, I'm helping everyone in the family process living with a 7-year-old because when you're 14, living with a 7-year-old is tough.
Yeah. And that's so true. Having a younger sibling can be so tough.
And you know what? That's just what I'm grateful for. I'm just grateful for the opportunity to just have 3 children. Some people don't have the opportunity of being a parent. And I'm just so thankful to have a co-parent who accepts me for who I am and is working with me with my flaws and have children who understand that I'm totally imperfect and we're just all on this journey together. How about you? What are you grateful for? Attitude of gratitude.
You know what? I'm going to stay on the theme of your post because it really helped me and I'm going to speak identity into my child and I'm going to continue to show them that, you know, this world can be brutal, but they're amazing. And just because someone says that they don't know how to sing or something silly, they shouldn't give weight to any of that. And that's the hardest thing is helping them realize they don't have to believe it because they do. Yeah. Anything anyone says they believe. So thanks for posting that. And that's going to help me for sure.
Thank you so much for joining us today. You are a good parent. Oh my gosh, family life and parenting is so hard. I hope today gave you some tools and some inspiration. And if you're enjoying this podcast, then please do me a favor. Leave us a positive review on your podcast provider. And if you're hearing this and you're struggling as a parent, your family is struggling, or you need parenting tools for that one challenging, struggling kid, well, I will see you in a live Zoom call inside my VIP membership, and I will give you the specific tools you need to solve every problem you have and to stay strong, be close, and teach wisdom.